Please join me looking at the back of your bulletin for the verses today. The first verse is Psalm 106:13. They soon forgot his works and would not wait for his counsel. The second is the parable of the unforgiving slave, Matthew 18:21-35. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus said to him, but 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he had no way to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the slave fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Then the master of that slave had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, "Pay what you owe." At this, his fellow slave fell down and began begging him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other slaves saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. And then the verse inside your bulletin, Luke 7:47. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little.
Back in the 70s, Teresa and I lived in Chicago, and we went downtown, and we saw the Lexington Hotel in Chicago. The Lexington Hotel was the hotel that was owned by Al Capone, and maybe you know this famously. Al Capone was a darling of the press. You know, they really liked him, and he was quite the juggernaut in Chicago. And he famously came down the steps of the Lexington Hotel, and they said ask him, "Al, what's your philosophy on life?" And he said simply, he said, "If someone hits me, I hit him back harder." You know, I visited Al Capone's grave, by the way. Just a little side note. I did my internship down at Chicago General Health Service, and it was a rough area. I'm telling you, you know you were in a rough area when there's armed guards in the parking lot of our clinic. But that's where I worked. And one night after getting off the shift, a bunch of us said, "Hey, let's go visit Al Capone's grave." Okay, so we did. We got in our car and we drove down there and Al Capone's grave. And I think of that statement that he made, "If someone hits me, I hit him back harder." And I think that if we were honest, that is the temptation, isn't it, for all of us? The issue that we're going to wrestle with, and we have been wrestling with here for a few weeks, is what separates God's people from the world? And I think that the singular thing that does separate us from the world is this issue of forgiveness. Because we have to do business with some things that Jesus said about this, and they're hard, hard things. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, because you'll receive mercy." And then he said, "Forgive us the same way that we forgive others." Our forgiveness, Jesus says, is tied to the way we forgive other people. Jesus said, "Judge us also with the same measure that we judge others." In other words, hold me to the same standard that I hold other people to that have wronged me. Do you want to be held to that standard? Well, we have to take this at face value. Jesus said, "Don't worry about the speck in somebody's eye, because you've got a beam in your own eye." It's highly significant that the first thing Jesus says in John's gospel, when he is resurrected and he comes back to his friends and his followers, he says, "I'm sending you out into the world the same way my Father sent me." I said, "There's your mandate. You go out into the world like I went out in the world." And then he says, "Now here's your empowerment." And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. And then the very next thing, and this is highly significant, the very next thing he says is, "Here's what you're to do with this Holy Spirit. Forgive." He said, "If you forgive, they're forgiven. If you retain sins, sins are retained." I was in a place of business yesterday. This is what God does to me. I don't like it, but this is what he does. "Okay, Tim, you want to talk about forgiveness? Try this on." And I'm in this place of business, and in walks this man that hurt my son. And he did it deliberately. And he did it when we were all certain my son wasn't going to survive. And he knew this. And still, and I talked to him. I talked to this man. And I said, "You can help my son out so much if you'll do the following for him." And it would have been an easy thing for him to do. No, he refused. And that hurt Timmy tremendously. In he walks. He's never asked me for forgiveness, nor will he ever. But that doesn't matter. Because, see, I'm tied to that sin. If I don't forgive him, I actually take that sin on. And believe me, it has happened. It's been a struggle for me, as you can imagine. But Jesus said, if you don't forgive the sins of others, you actually become tied and bound to their sin, and it stays with you. So what do I do about this? Well, here's what I do. Here's what the Holy Spirit does for us, for all of us. At that moment yesterday, during that encounter, I remembered my forgiveness. I remembered the mercy and comfort and forgiveness that I have received. And therefore, the Holy Spirit helped me with that. I forgave him. Now, is that over for me? No. No, because the enemy will keep coming back at you and me with these things. But the key for me, is to take a look at the things that I have done, that I have been forgiven for. it's the hardest thing. In fact, it's impossible for us to do absent the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see the on the back of your devotional there. You see what happened to Israel. You see the very first verse on there? They soon forgot his works. Israel forgot. Do you forget what God did for you? Israel forgot what God did for them. Israel forgot where they were. Israel forgot the forgiveness that God gave them. And as a result, look what they stopped listening to him. They would not wait for his counsel. And they started listening to another voice. Listening to the other voice, and let me tell you what happens when you don't forgive somebody. Jesus said the enemy comes only to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. And here's the secret the enemy doesn't want you to know. It's bilateral. In other words, if you think by not forgiving somebody that the stealing, killing, and destroying is all going to them, you're wrong. It comes to you. And see, my issue with this man was, in my head, well, if I forgive him, I let him off the hook. You ever think that way? If I forgive this person, they're not going to pay for what they did. And I'm just going to withhold my forgiveness so that they pay. No, when you do that, when you're Al Capone, someone hits me, I hit him back harder. Something is stolen from you, something is killed in you, and something is destroyed in you. You are bound to that person's sin. Jesus said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Listen, brothers and sisters. The key that he gave us is just this. Forgive. When you forgive, you unlock the gates to the kingdom for somebody. And how you employ those keys, how you employ that will have eternal consequences. That's the daunting issue here. So you've been given the keys. You have the Holy Spirit. You are enabled to forgive any and all people. Whether you employ that key or not is another matter. Now, we're going to look at a story today where this person did not employ the keys. And maybe see if you see yourself on this story. See if you can put your flag on this map anywhere, because Peter comes up to him, Matthew 18, 21. Maybe you want to follow along there on the back. I hope you're blessed by this today. One who has the keys and doesn't employ them and the consequences. Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? That's reasonable, isn't it? Seven times? That would be a lot. Jesus, I tell you, Jesus says, no, Peter, not as many as seven times, but 70 times seven. And then, verse 23, it's because of that, for this reason, this is the kingdom way. The kingdom way is to forgive somebody. Really, the hyperbole there is infinitely, no matter how many times. And Jesus says, well, because that's true, what I just said to you, that's true. This following scenario is also true. If there's one parable that Jesus tells that is quickening to our spirits and that we need to pay attention to, I think it is this parable. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to something. See, what is true in this story is true in the kingdom, in other words. Here it is. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king, God, who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves, us. He wants to. He wants to settle accounts. And the king in this story initiates. When he began, verse 24, to settle accounts, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. I want you to notice something here. Is the king angry? You see any anger here? You see any passion here out of the king? No. The king's not angry. But he wants to settle accounts. Because there's a barrier between the king and this particular slave. And he doesn't want that barrier. So the king just wants to settle accounts so the barrier between him and his servant, his slave, is over, is gone. No anger. Since he had no way to pay it back. This slave, you, me, have no way to pay it back. But the king wants to settle with us. You see, that's the problem we have. That's the trouble that we're in. We've offended the giver of the moral code and the awful haunter of nature, and we owe him an explanation. That's the trouble we're in as a species. Like Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, he says, while we were still helpless. See, this slave is helpless right now. The king's got him. This slave is helpless. You see, this is the problem. This is why we don't forgive. Because we don't see ourselves in this story. Put yourself in the story. 10,000 talents is a tremendous amount of money. I mean, it's impossible to ever pay that back. And if you don't think you've sinned, that our rebellion against God, individually and corporately, is so huge a debt to God against him, it's like owing him an infinite amount of money. That's what our rebellion against him is. And that's where this slave finds himself. Since he had no way to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. Yes. Yes. You are going, if this debt that you owe God for your rebellion is not dealt with, you lose everything and supremely your soul. That's what Jesus is saying here. This man is about to lose his existence. It's like he never existed. His footprint's going to be completely gone. Everything about him is wiped out. Everything he had, gone. At this, the slave fell face downward before him. See, that's the starting point. That's the realization that each one of us individually have to have. And that's where repentance begins. See, if you don't think you owe a debt, you're not falling down on your face, are you? I believe that this is something that has been surgically extracted from biblical, surgically extracted from many pulpits today, and that is to bring people to the realization that they owe God a tremendous debt that can never be paid back. The realization of sin, the realization of our rebellion, because absent that realization, and I know that's hard. I get that. No one likes to feel that way. We don't like to have people feel uncomfortable. But without that realization, this slave's not falling down on his face. So God makes it clear to him, this is what you have done. This is what it is going to cost you. And you're going to lose everything that you have. And that realization leads this slave to fall down on his face. That realization leads to repentance. He falls face downward before him, and he admits his guilt. So far, so good. This slave's doing everything right. Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. This is a forgiven Christian. This is a tough parable. It's about to get tougher. This is a forgiven Christian. Because look at the king's response to him falling down on the face and begging him for forgiveness. And by the way, if you haven't done that, my bias on this is you haven't repented. And that could be, you could think that's a dogmatic statement out of my mouth, but I'm going to tell you something. Everything I read in Scripture screams to me that repentance is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Then the master of the slave, when he sees the response, had compassion. Had compassion. Released him. Look at the sequence. Compassion. He released him, and he forgave him the loan. This is beyond what the slave asked for. This is exceedingly beyond what he would even think could happen. Could we serve a God like that? Yes. Yes, says Jesus, we do serve a God like this. And you know what the king just gave him? The keys. Right here. You see it right here, right now. Verse 27, the king has just given the slave the keys to the kingdom. What are the keys? Mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. Here, slave, you're forgiven. Here, along with that, are the keys. You now are a key bearer. Forgiven Christian. Verse 28, things start to unravel. But that slave, the forgiven one, that slave, the one that the king had mercy, compassion, and forgiveness toward, that slave who begged for forgiveness, who apparently did repent, but that slave, what's he going to do with these keys? That slave went out, and look what he does. He found one. He found this guy. Who's wronged you? You looking for him? Are you stalking them? You just wait. You just wait. He's about to help this slave get the speck out of his eye when he was walking around with a beam in his own eye. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 10 bucks, 100 denarii. This, when someone wrongs you, and Many people have wronged me, and I have wronged many. When someone wrongs you, don't orient your life around that. Don't orbit around that thing, that person, that event, because this slave has oriented his life around this fellow slave who wronged him, and he's got to pay. He hit me, I'm going to hit him back harder. And then I'll feel better. I'm going to make him suffer, and when he suffers, I'll get relief. How's that working for you? Whatever calumny we have done against somebody else or that they have done against us is 100 denarii in comparison to our rebellion against God. That's the point of this. Do you see that tracking? See, our rebellion against God is 10,000 talents. And anything that somebody has done against me or I against them in comparison is 100 denarii. This slave, watch what he does. He's coming in hot. He grabbed him and started choking him. He grabs him and he starts to choke him and he said, "Pay what you owe." At this, his fellow slave fell down and began begging him. Do these words sound familiar? Be patient with me and I will pay you back. That's the exact words that the one who is choking him said to the king. Same thing. And here we have a slave that's also repentant. Be patient with me and I'll pay you back. Verse 30. But he wasn't willing. No. He's about to steal, kill, and destroy something in this slave who owes him 100 denarii. He's about to steal, kill, and destroy something in him because he deserves it. He hurt me. And he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. He has every right to do that. Forensically, he has every right. He's in the right. The law's on his side. He owes me money. The law says I can do this to him. You are absolutely in the right, so to speak, forensically, when someone has wronged you and you want to get them back because I have my rights. And when I do that, I'll feel better. This monkey on my back will be gone. This thing that dogs my steps will be over. I will be able to start to live. I'm going to be free finally because I'm going to throw them in prison. But he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. Now watch closely. You think your family's affected when you don't forgive? Dads? Think your children are affected when you don't forgive somebody? You think your friends and followers aren't affected when you don't forgive somebody? Look at this. When the other slaves saw what had taken place, people see this. Your children see this. Your wife and your husband sees this in you. And it affects others. You ever been around someone who is unforgiving and bitter? Does that bleed into your life? You bet it does. Does that affect your family, your home life? But I can't let go of this. If you only knew what they did to me, you'd understand. You're only binding yourself to their sin. You're not hurting them as much as you're hurting yourself and those that are closest to you when you don't forgive. When the other slaves saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed. God's people, you do not practice your faith in a vacuum. You are noticed. And went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Let me tell you something. God takes note. Please, please, if you're taking notes, I would write that one down. Because what the Spirit has shown me lately, it has been quite a thing. That the heavenly realm absolutely monitors our comings and goings. The heavenly realm is well aware of what we are or are not doing. And the king here and God takes note. There's a pause here at the end of verse 31. Because right now, the unforgiving slave, and maybe you find yourself in an unforgiving position, right now that person says, I've taken care of the issue. This person that hurt me is in prison. This person that hurt me is paying for this. Pause. But let me tell you what'll happen. Here's what'll happen. You're going to get a summons. Oh, you're going to get a summons. My dad used to say, God's like a mill. They used to have the stones that would grind grain, a millstone. And my dad used to say, the millstone of God grinds very slowly, but it grinds very fine. And an unforgiving heart, one who has been forgiven, God takes note of our attitude when we don't forgive, and you will get the summons. Verse 32, then after he had summoned him, God the king is summoning this one who didn't forgive. His master said to him, you wicked slave. This is God's definition of wicked. God's definition of wicked is one who will not forgive, one who has been forgiven and yet refuses to forgive. Wicked. Jesus comes down on not the sinner. Yes, he forgave them and he encouraged them to go and sin no more. Who Jesus came down on were the accusers every single time. The ones who wouldn't forgive. This is God's definition of wicked. Not that you've perpetrated some sin, but that you refuse to offer forgiveness when you have been forgiven. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. What's the key to forgiving others? Remembering. Thank you. Yes, it is correct. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Remembering your forgiveness. And if you don't think you owe God 10,000 talents for your rebellion, then you do not understand how far you have fallen from Him. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow slave? What is God's expectation toward you and me when we're forgiven? What's his expectation? That will have trickle-down forgiveness in the lives of others. Do you see this? If you're holding somebody, if you think you're holding somebody hostage by not forgiving them, you are the prisoner. You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And verse 34, please note this. And his master got angry. What makes God angry? What makes God angry? Is it our sins and our transgressions and our failures? Does that make God angry? Because at the beginning of this parable, the king's well aware of the debt that this slave owes, and all the king wants is a relationship to be restored. He just wants restoration between himself and this slave. He's not angry. He wants him back. He wants the barrier removed. Not angry. Boy, that worm has turned. Now he's angry. And he summons him. And we get a summons from God. When you forget your forgiveness, when you have been shown mercy, comfort, and forgiveness, and you do not extend that to others, you're going to get the summons. And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. See, when I reflect on that incident I told you about, and believe me, that's, as I said, it's not over for me. Now, the enemy will keep bringing this to me. It's torturous to me. I'm tortured. I'm in prison. It affects my family. It affects my patients. I'm not affecting the one who wronged me because this is God's technique to get us to extend the mercy. Listen, to use the keys. You have the key. You've been forgiven. You've been shown mercy and comfort. Here's the key. Now, you go and you give that to others. You expand this. And that is the king's expectations. That is God's expectations attached to your forgiveness. Handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed, which, of course, he never can. You can live a life under the tyranny of someone else's sin. And you're tortured. And you're in prison. And yet you want to say you've been forgiven? To be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. What's happened here? Two people are in prison. Two people are immobilized. The unforgiving slave and his fellow slave that he wouldn't forgive. They're both in prison. They're both immobilized. Unforgiveness immobilizes you. Unforgiveness, when you stalk and you orient your life around an event where you were wronged, how many people in this story and in your story and in my story, how many people, when I'm coming in hot and I'm going to choke and grab him and make him pay, how many people in need of mercy, comfort, and forgiveness did I completely blow by? You ever done that? Because I am so laser beamed in on getting revenge that I walk by, and this slave that has been forgiven walks by countless people that need mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. That has been such a thing the Holy Spirit has brought into my heart. Never more so than the other day when I said Teresa and I visited this facility. And how many people, because I'm so stuck on my, you wronged me, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back harder. And the peripheral people that I walk by who God is counting on the mercy, comfort, and forgiveness that I received to be extended to those that I'm walking by because I want him to pay. I'm immobilized. How can I go forward, you think? Because this slave is thinking, how can I go forward with my life when he did that to me? Two people in prison, two people immobilized. Verse 35. Now, this is a tough one. But so my Heavenly Father, Jesus sums up this story, will do to each of you if you do not forgive his brother. And I circled here. The key phrase here is what? From his heart. From his heart. Heart change is a process brought on through remembering. Now, I do not suggest, nor does God want you to continually lament over the thing that you did. Because that's the enemy's game. To keep you tied to that sin and want you to keep remembering it every single day. That's the enemy's game. That's not the point here. What God wants and expects is that we remember the mercy, comfort, and forgiveness that has been given to us. That's what we remember. And that's what causes the heart change. The woman who crashes the party at Simon's house and comes to Jesus and pours the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and dries Jesus' feet with her hair. And Simon, who didn't think he was in any position to accept, he didn't need mercy. He didn't need forgiveness. And Simon upbraids the woman for coming in and doing this. You know what your problem is if you don't forgive? Simon's problem. Because Jesus says back to him, Simon, she loves much because she's been forgiven much. If you think you've been forgiven little because you have not sinned against God, if you don't think you owe him 10,000 talents, you will love little. You will forgive little. She loves much because she is forgiven much, and she remembers that. So my Heavenly Father will do to each of you if you don't forgive your brother from his heart. It's as if I summed up this parable this way, and it was the title of the message today. It's as if God says to us, you remember your forgiveness, and I'll forget your sin. How's that? Is this salvific? Can our salvation be withdrawn? Can the forgiveness that we receive from God be taken back? That is beyond my theological ken. But I do know that when our Lord and Master tells a parable like this, that he puts a premium on our extending mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Don't let the enemy put you in prison. Don't let the enemy immobilize you. Don't let the enemy go. Don't let the enemy have you walk through this world, and we're among others like us who are fellow travelers to the grave, crawling between the beast and the angels, and we walk along focused on everything in my past that was done to me wrong. And I'm going to wear that. And you're going to know about it. If you wrong me, you're going to hear about it. Because then I'll feel better. No. No. When you do that, you're in prison. And the enemy wins. You remember your forgiveness, and I'll forget your sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would forgive. Amen.